This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
so could you please give us some good news on the show today? Some good news, because everything seems to be bad. And I said, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing, but here's what I came up with for good news. Are you ready? We don't get into politics here on the RP Show. That's the good news. Homie, don't play that game. That's not what we do.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
We're going to try to stick to that. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the RP Show. Happy Wednesday, November the 4th, 2020. We're coming to you from the heartland of hockey, the Bermuda Triangle of the National Hockey League. Yep. How about that, Dupes?
How about that?
And from the heartland of the Canadian Football League is where we're broadcasting from, and also the sweatpants capital. Hey, I'm excited. Good morning, Curling Zone, as they tuned in today. Holy whopping viewers they've been doing from Curling Zone.
I know.
On these little non-sanctioned curling events.
I know, and I feel bad. I haven't updated my bio yet, but I'm going to do that before the end of the show.
Yeah, you're broadcasting on it.
I'm now the curling guy. I want to be the curling guy. I love it. I've been now going back and forth on social media with all the curling people.
You've been doing a very good job of it, by the
way. So I enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, hey, Curling Zone, would I be wrong if I said this is the breadbasket of curling too? It's a very important place. There it is. And we are live on Facebook Live in hour one. We go to national television in hour two, plus sticking with you on Facebook Live when we go to Game Plus TV. I'm excited about the show today. Big guests, Devin Caney is joining us. She is the face of the National Lacrosse League. If you follow the league as closely as we do, and our crew here, the boys in the dog pound, you see Devin a lot. She is the face of the National Lacrosse League, and I don't even know how it came up. We had the commissioner on last week, Nick Sakevich, and I think Clark said, let's lean into the NLL coverage, to use a Dupes term.
Proud of him.
And Devin Caney, I would suggest, isn't that busy right now? And that's coming up in our Quick Six show topic, so hang on, I'll talk about that. The great Dan Saravelli, he'll be joining us from Philly. He hosts the Enterprise podcast down there. If the name sounds familiar, it should. He's the cousin of TSN insider Frank Saravelli, senior reporter out of Philly. You're going to enjoy this, you. You're going
to
enjoy this. Trust me. He's an original Jersey guy. He looks like he walked off the set of
Jersey Shore.
Well, definitely Jersey Shore. We'll see if he's not in a tank top today. I was thinking the other one. What's the most popular show on Broadway history? Jersey Boys.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he's right off the set of Jersey Boys.
Cut. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
The hat and everything.
Yeah. His name, Dan Saravelli. He'll be with us. And then, really excited, in hour two, Todd Stottlemyre will be joining us from, I believe he's in Phoenix, Arizona, two-time World Series champion with the Toronto Blue Jays. He was here just a couple years ago at the Red Sox banquet. One of the few that I missed. You know, I emcee that every year. That year I couldn't, and I just heard that he just knocked everybody's socks off. Pardon the pun.
It was good. I was there.
Yeah, were you?
Great night.
Were you on stage with him?
No, I didn't go on stage with him that night, but I just got to sit in the crowd and enjoy it. It was great.
Todd Pinckney's noticed something, by the way. Good eye, Pinks. He says, just because you do face-off doesn't mean you need to be 6 feet apart. Do you want to explain why we're doing this?
Sure.
Or not?
Well, no, absolutely. It's because of the government in Saskatchewan just instituted some new policies, and we just want to make sure that we're doing our part, too. Now, while we don't have to wear masks up here, you know, we just want to make sure that we're, you know, being as careful as possible. They instituted a mandatory mask policy in the province, and especially in public places. So for the next little while, you know, we're just going to do our part and make sure we're being careful and cautious. But for us, for the most part, it doesn't change. We have a small staff. We were able to keep social distancing. It's not a public open door that, you know, everybody rolls in and out here if they're not scheduled. So we're pretty good that
way. We've tightened security up somewhat.
Yeah, a little bit.
And spaced ourselves. But anyways, that's cool. So I think you're going to enjoy, folks, the Quick Six show topics here today as they are of importance to me. Let it roll, Jordan. And I'll tell you why. Again, this is what's the most interesting in my world. Number one, Antonio Brown has been activated by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the Bucs' Week 9 game against the New Orleans Saints. Divisional game, NFC South, Bucs 6-2, Saints 5-2. We got to talk about this. Do they really need him? I think because of the U.S. election, frankly, and all the COVID crap that continues to monotonize our lives, the AB to the Bucks just kind of slid under the table.
I know.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not. It did. It kind of slid right under the radar. Him, you know, especially becoming active, it's a big deal. Now, you can't just be romantic and expect that AB is going to be the AB of 2018 and prior, but he's a good receiver. He's still got a lot of youth in him. And this is interesting because this week especially, those two losses, one of them is against the Saints for Tom in Tampa. So
The first game. Working the Kings
up. No, for sure. But you talk about in the division, you talk about season series, you talk about head-to-head, you know, tie-breaking scenarios, all that stuff. It's a big game. Huge division.
Is this
game.
America's game of the week? Do we know?
I don't know if it is.
No, hang on. It's prime time. It's Sunday night. It's big, on though. NBC.
Yeah, it's big.
So, yeah, that's point one that we got hung up on a little, and that's fine. For point two, for our Winnipeg viewers, of which there are many, and they say that we don't talk about the Jets enough, and they're right. The NHL sending an email out every day to those of us subscribers, and one of the points in it today is that Mark Scheifele is feeling 100%. I'm not sure we still know specifically what he went down with in game one of the qualifier, or round one series, the qualifier series with the Calgary Flames. Whatever it is, he says he's 100%. Now, if the NHL season starts January 1st, that's great. We'll see Mark Scheifele in uniform with the Winnipeg Jets pronto. Whenever the season starts, Mark Scheifele says he's ready to go. And he says nobody is on the ice more than him. Now, it's not fake news, but you do have to be careful when you're reading league websites and team websites. Because 5, 6, 7 years ago, when I was a guy writing for those websites, I said, you know what? We got it in the palm of our hand here. Fans don't need to go to TV stations. They don't need to go to radio stations. They don't need to go to blogs because we're going to have them all right here. But the problem is the teams and the leagues screwed it up by trying to control, lie, mislead. And the point, I'm not saying the NHL is doing that, but what I am saying is, the season is expected to start January 1st or something like that. I'd have to go back and read it. They're basically saying it will start January 1st. It's really causing a lot of optimism for me, simply as an NHL fan. So I hope that they're right. But I really think if you could have gone to those league and team websites and known that you could trust the information that you're reading, they would have crushed the mainstream media. They'd have crushed it. I was part of the movement. But the teams and leagues screwed it up because I know for a fact they weren't being truthful with what was going on those websites. Unfair?
Unfortunately, you're right.
I know that because I was there. This is not a supposition.
Because it's exactly what you're going to get on a team website. You know, Wendell Clark played in his 1,000 NHL game last night. He scored 2 goals, and Felix Potvin made 35 saves. And the Leafs played in front of 17,000 people. Yeah. They play tomorrow night. You forgot to tell us that they lost 6-2, right? And he let in 6 goals, and you missed all the fine details, right? So,
right,
that's the problem.
And by the way, for mine, it all started out fine. But by the time, near the end of my time, but by the end of the time when I was stopped writing for the website of the team, it had to go through three people, the PR guy, then the brand and marketing guy, and sometimes the team president. And by the time it got posted to the web, it looked nothing like what I'd written. And I'm like, this is not fun. This is not right. And all teams are doing it. All leagues are doing it. So on the Mark Scheifele thing from John Ohm in Winnipeg, and thank you for joining us this morning, John. Jets Mark Scheifele on his recovery. I'm 100%, no question. Isn't that what I said? Didn't I say that?
You did.
Here's the comment from Trent in Norway. Good to have you aboard, Trent. Norway calling. Having codfish for supper tonight. Tastes good, I might say. I hope Antonio Brown makes sure he's ready and clear in his head for the next game. I'm sure that Kevin Cheveldayoff can get the Winnipeg Jets lineup adjusted for next season. Defense is still the big question. Stay safe, everyone. Thank you, Trent in Norway. And Kevin Cheveldayoff of Blaine Lake, Saskatchewan. That's why I opened this show by saying we're broadcasting from the Bermuda Triangle of the National Hockey League, from the rectangle. Point three, I've officially registered for Grey Cup Unite. It's not that hard. Go to greycupunite.ca, fill in your name, your address, your email, whether you're a season ticket holder or not, and if you will be participating in the CFL's Business Summit as part of Grey Cup Week. I'm a little undecided on that. I don't know if it's worthwhile for me. What I'm interested in is the coaches' news conferences, the player availability, and what are other really exciting things they've got going on during Grey Cup Unite Week, because I know of a few. The Business Summit sounds more of a you thing than a me thing.
Right. Totally. And that's what's great about it. There's a little something for everybody. I'm excited about the Decade Awards. I think that'll be a cool replacement for the year-end league awards. That'll be fun. The coaches' conference where they can get all nine coaches in. I think that'll
be groups of three.
Yeah, so that'll be really cool that you can hear from everybody, including the new coaches, right? We're going to hear
from Dinwiddie. We're going to
hear from Paul Lapolice in Ottawa now. So that's going to be really cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I've registered too.
You did?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yes,
it's not that hard to do. Go to greatcupunite.ca. You can be done in less than a minute. From John Schmidt, the resident Habs fan watching, he says, good morning, Roddy and Dupes. Good morning, Johnny. Go Habs, go. From the Jug in Saskatoon. The Jug says, happy birthday to our kicker, Brett Lowther. I'm surprised the NFL hasn't been looking at him. With all the time and work he's put in, he should get a shot. That is inexplicable that he hasn't had an NFL opportunity. I don't get it. And he's got a tremendous agent, too, with wonderful NFL connections. I don't get it. Sometimes life doesn't make sense, and it damn sure isn't fair. Jacques is watching in Ottawa, and he says, I have registered also. Very easy. Thanks, Jack. Point four, what a circus the U.S. election has been. Like an absolute circus. And I don't really understand a lot of things. My friends are texting me. My wife's looking at me going, what? This doesn't make sense. They got Trump to win. Now he's not winning and this and that. And how's this working? And it is confusing unless you really know the ins and outs of it, unless you're a politico.
I know.
And I was going back and forth between Fox News and CNN and, yeah, obviously a huge disparity between the difference in the way that they were doing things. I was under the mistaken impression that we'd go to bed last night knowing, even if we stayed up real late, who the winner was. And I guess if you listened to the Donald Trump news conference, you would believe that it was him because he proclaimed himself the winner. But as we sit here today, 10:12 Central, we still don't know who the president of the United States will be coming out of this election. And I hope that it breaks while we're on the air. Do you think that might happen?
That's why we're here.
Breaking news.
Head to head against CNN and Fox News this morning. There's a couple of takeaways for me. And I was doing the same thing, flipping back and forth. And you get one side leaning super far this way on CNN, and it's kind of hard to stomach. And you go the other way, and it's super far leaning the other side on Fox, and kind of hard to stomach. I did love what CNN did with John King and Wolf Blitzer with the board.
Yeah.
When there's only two of them. Because all it was scores and updates. There was no panel discussion about what it means. Leave the panel. I don't need the panel. Just tell me who's winning, where the votes are coming from. That part's really neat. But what I was interested was at the beginning, it showed Joe Biden landslide winning everywhere, but Donald Trump was winning the popular vote. And then Trump was winning all these other states, but Biden was winning the popular vote. So it was really flip-flopping, and I don't really understand all of that.
No, and if you can relate it to sports, this was the disappointing part of it. When we tune in to be entertained, I think we could all agree we were entertained. But we want a winner.
Oh, yeah, no
ties.
By
the time we go to bed, no ties.
I stayed up, too, till almost 2 a.m. Central Time to see if there was going to be a winner.
Casey's watching in Eastern Canada. He says, unfortunately, I don't think we will have a winner by the time the show ends. And that's unfortunate. Carlos in Indianapolis says, come for the sports, stay for the politics. LOL. I'm just talking about the coverage and hella fun that it was last night, watching it, following on Twitter. But I'm not going any further down that. But what I will is move to point five, and that is sports in 2021. I was forwarded some information yesterday that I was briefing you on, and I said I would forward it to you if you actually want to read it for yourself, or you can just trust me. And I think you're just going to trust me on it.
Yeah.
From what I've learned, this is what I think the sports should do in 2021 and beyond. And I'm talking everything from the National Football League to Joe's Tiddlywinks League. You'd better find a way to make money that does not involve selling tickets, period. And the sports operators that watch this show, and they're probably the majority of our viewers, to be honest, they're like, oh, yeah, Rod, well, of course we're doing that. No. It's not examining three scenarios of full stadiums, partially full stadiums, empty stadiums. I would be planning for empty stadiums, is my point. You better be finding ways, not premium ticket prices on 150 people, not hoping for 50% capacity. I would be planning to broadcast. No, sorry. Clark, thanks, Clark. Got 90 seconds. I would be planning to play and find other ways to make money, whether it be betting, whether it be lotteries, some various form of fundraisers, whether it's a TV deal. Because last time I checked, the WHL doesn't have one. TV, right? The SJHL at least does. CFL does. This, again, is from information that I was sent yesterday from, I'm not going to say, it's the source that I believe, and I know that you believe, just because I told you it, because you trust what I say, and I would like to think that's why you folks are watching, because you know I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. That's one thing I'm not going to do. You may not like what I say, but you can believe it. And here's a quick fun one, because we only have a minute left. Chase Claypool on TSN 1050 Toronto yesterday saying, telling the O-Dog, he doesn't love the name Mapletron.
No?
No. Which I thought was funny. And even Claypool said, hey, look, I get it. If you didn't see the quote, it was, they're comparing me to Megatron, and I'm Canadian, so it's Mapletron. He goes, but honestly, I don't love it. Which made me love the kid even more, because he's just being honest. So many of them come out of these schools, even the major junior programs in hockey, they're so polished. You know they're lying. I know they're lying, because I've talk to them privately, then they stand behind a microphone and say something 180 degrees different, and I just can't do that.
No.
I guess that's what they call polish. Chase Claypool's not that polished. He's like, I don't like the name Mapletron, but the fans do, so I'll go with it. So I want to talk more about Mapletron and maybe how the CFL can use him moving forward for the star power that it's lacking right now.
At least he accepted it, because you can't create your own nickname.
No, you can't. Absolutely not. When we come back, the face of the NLL, Devin Caney. She'll blush when I say that, but it's the truth. And also on the way today, Dan Cervelli from the Enterprise Podcast in Philly and Blue Jays great Todd Stadelmeyer. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Thank you very much, Rick Reagan, and welcome back to the RP Show, everybody. It is episode number 353 of Canada's daytime sports talk show, coming at you out of the bunker here in Western Canada on Game Plus Television, where we're very big in Philly. That's what I hear from the Philly people that watch the show on Game Plus TV. Also, Facebook Live, and for Suds Regina, listen live at rodpeterson.com. I said before the break, Devin Caney is the face of the NLL. She may or may not agree, but her Twitter profile says host and senior producer at NLL, sidelines for the Philly Wings, and there she is. She joins us from the battleground state of Pennsylvania. G'day, Devin. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. What an intro there. Thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Oh, our pleasure. Actually, this has been a long time coming. We just had the commissioner on last week, Nick Sakevich, and I'll be honest, Devin, he was so positive about the future of the NLL, and we all know with the team coming into Texas that the league will literally be bigger than ever when it comes back. How many fingers do you have crossed that this is going to happen come next April?
If it was possible to cross all of them, then that would be the case. But I'm definitely, you know, really hopeful. It's been a long time coming. It's been a long off season, but I think I can make it a few more months. I mean, a lot of things can change. Like I actually watched Nick's interview with you and he said it perfectly, you know, like we're aiming for April. I think using the word targeting means, you know, anything can change, anything can happen, but that also means things could be better than they are right now. So all of my fingers are crossed to answer your question.
Well, I'm a Rush fan. I'm a Rush season ticket holder, and I was a little disappointed because we were halfway through the season and the Rush We're just getting rolling. So I'm one of those disappointed millions of NLL fans. But I've kept busy doing other things. How about you? You work in the league. What's your last 8 to 9 months been like?
It's been a roller coaster. You know, it's funny looking back to March, I think not just us, but a lot of people, at least here in the States, were like, you know, this is only going to last a month. Like, we just have to, you know, find content and do stuff for a month. So when it first started, I was actually still really busy, I'd say, for the first 3 months, because we were still, you know, churning out content. As I heard you read in my Twitter bio, I am also senior producer as well as being, you know, the on-air host for the league. So we were doing Skype interviews, Instagram lives, Zooms, and that lasted, you know, through the summer. And that's because we kind of called that, you know, our content for the 2019-2020 season. So now we're kind of looking ahead. We're in full off-season mode post-draft that happened in September. And then we're going to start gearing up for our preseason content in a few months. So, you know, the off-season's always slow for me, but I'm just trying to take advantage of it, because I know once things get going, my life is going to be pretty crazy.
Of course. And the good news is, and the commissioner assured us of it, the NLL is coming back. There's some other leagues that cannot potentially say the same thing from a financial thing. But I got to ask you this about Philly. And you might have saw Dan Cervelli's coming up next. He might just be down the street from you. I don't know, from the Enterprise podcast. But I had occasion to do an event last February. Flyers great Bernie Parent was there. And I've never been to Philly. He's invited me down there. And he goes, I go to all the Eagles games. I go to the Flyers games. I go to all the Phillies games. And the Wings. I love the Wings. Do you guys?
I love the Wings.
He loves the Wings. He absolutely loves the Wings. But we didn't really get into it. Do the Wings play in the same arena as the Flyers and the 76ers? Are you part of that whole group?
Yes. Yeah, they well, the Wings ownership is the same as the Flyers. But they, yeah, all three teams play at the Wells Fargo Center.
So what's that like? And again, I've never been to Philly. I've told Dan, and I will again when he comes on, it's on my bucket list as soon as the border opens and we can roll. What's it like? That's a busy venue, obviously.
Philly, I mean, I'm born and raised out just outside Philly, so I might be a little biased, but I love Philly. It's awesome. We're also one of the few cities that has all of our arenas and stadiums in one location. So they're all just in South Philly. So right next to the Wells Fargo Center, where the Flyers, Sixers, and Wings play, is Lincoln Financial Field, where the Eagles play, and then Citizens Bank Park, where the Phillies play. And then in the middle, there's this massive venue called Xfinity Live, where we actually host our NLL draft usually every year. Obviously, this past year, it was virtual. But it's wild down there. It's probably my favorite environment in the world. I think if I had a visitor in town and they said, take me to the most, you know, essential Philly place to really get the energy of the city, that's where I would take them down there, especially on like an Eagles game day when there's tailgating. It's crazy.
Darren, we have a tour guide, great, as you heard, for our next sports
and
trip.
And you wanted to go to Philly.
And I want to go to Philly. But the other thing, by the way, a lot of the Flyers greats are from here. That's where Dan Cervelli and I connected. He's like, tell me about Brian Propp. Tell me about Rich Sutter. Tell me about Bobby Clark. They're all from right here, Devin. And I got to think, the NLL would fit perfectly with Philly. Like, are you tough? Because it seems like everybody from Philly is tough. Like, is that a bad rep or is that a true rep?
I don't think it's a bad thing. Yeah, I think everyone from Philly has this kind of gritty attitude, even if you realize it or not. Like, everyone from here is pretty. I don't think it's, I think maybe other people perceive it as tough, but my opinion is that we're just really honest and gritty and inclusive. I don't know. I don't know if tough is the right word, but then, yeah, I guess our fans are pretty tough sometimes.
Well, that's the reputation as the fan base that booed Santa Claus in a parade. And I guess maybe that's why the Flyers mascot is nicknamed Gritty. Let me ask you this too, Devin, as the host of the NLL, have you been to every venue across the league in your role?
No, I haven't. I really want to. That's a goal. And I was kind of upset. I was very upset that our season was cut short because we actually had a plan to go to Saskatchewan. I've never been to a Rush game. And I feel like that's just like the essential NLL experience. I know they pack the place and they're obviously an amazing team. And I've never been to that area of Canada. I'm working my way down the list though. And sorry, that trip obviously didn't happen. So it was supposed to happen in April, but I've made it to a few places now. I've been to Calgary, Halifax, Toronto, Buffalo, San Diego. So a lot of our US markets, but Canada, there are definitely still a few that I want to check off my list. So I'm kind of eager for the season to get going and for the border to open. So I'm allowed to do that.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Rush Nation just woke up to hearing you say that. And by the way, you see Darren's eyes just went, oh, yeah. Well, you're talking about beautiful cities, by the way. Calgary, Halifax, Saskatoon is beautiful, too. Mm. So, yeah, as I think about it with the Rush, that's what I miss the most is we talk about Philly and that town's reputation. What's the Rush Nation's reputation across the NLL? You just said the essential NLL experience. What have you heard?
I mean, I've just heard that the SaskTel Center is crazy. I think the most electric NLL, you know, game day energy I've felt was in Calgary during game two of the finals in 2019. I mean, that place was packed and screaming and everyone just kept saying, oh, you think this is crazy? This is what Saskatchewan does for every single game. You know, that was a finals game. So, and that team is just, I mean, I remember they came to Philly this last season and I'm Philly's sideline reporter and they just operate with, like, I call them the New England Patriots of the NLL. I guess I don't know if that fully applies anymore now that Tom Brady isn't with the Pats, but Derek Keenan just runs like a really tight ship. I think they operate like a machine, that team, and they're really fun to watch. They're all really good lacrosse players.
By the way, I've called them the Patriots of the NLL too, and they don't seem to mind. And Ben McIntosh is no longer with the Rush. He's a heart and soul guy. He's with the Philly Wings now, as you obviously know. So I guess, you know, as we wrap this up, Devin, there is a heck of a lot of things to be excited about for the NLL next year. Wouldn't you agree? Whenever it does come back, with all the things that we've just talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited too. I'm still, you know, working and I am still busy, but I'm excited to just get back to game day. Like, there's nothing like the energy of walking into an arena on game day, you know, whether it's in Philly or Calgary or Halifax or wherever, and watching the best lacrosse players in the world. I mean, these guys are truly incredible players, and I feel lucky that I get to help tell their stories. I mean, I miss doing in-person interviews. It's been like 7 months, so I'm just excited to start gearing up for the season, and I'm very hopeful that it will, you know, actually start in April and we'll have our NLL back.
Do you want to, on a scale of 1 to 10, or give a percentage of what you think whether the league will play or not? I'm not a Debbie Downer by nature. Maybe somewhat fearful of what's happened the last 8-9 months. But, like, do you think it's going to happen? Even Nick said, he goes, this is a targeted date. It's not a firm date. What do you think the chances are that it happens?
You know, I think pretty high. I don't want to give a number because I don't want anyone to, you know, take that and run with it. But I do think that there is a very, you know, likely chance that we play. Again, April's far away and we do have the luxury of watching what, you know, other leagues like the NBA and NHL do before us. So I think we have, you know, 5 months to go. And in those months, we can definitely figure it out, you know, whether we have to figure out the border, if it's still closed. Like, I think our leadership will kind of navigate the way. So I'm hopeful. I think we will have a season. I can't put a number on it, though.
Well, you talk about leaders. The NLL has tremendous leaders. So I guess that's the faith that we have to have in them. Give her a follow, everybody. Devin Caney on Twitter and Instagram. She is the face of the NLL. And for those in sports that say the NLL is a hidden treasure of sport, it is, but it can't continue that way. The potential is enormous. We just need to get behind our teams, right? And it starts with following Devin. Devin, thanks for the time. Stay safe, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Devin. Devin Caney. And by the way, Todd Pinckney, who's a huge Philly fan, Flyers and Eagles, writes in and says, I'm calling it right now. This is your rock star of the day. Devin Caney from the NLL for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions, where we do a vote every day for the Rockstar Guest of the Day. Yesterday, it was Mark McConkey, the head coach of the University of Regina Rams football program. Mark McConkey won. And Roxanne from Rockstar was watching, and she says, can we come to Philly? Here's the caveat that I will say for our next sports trip. Whenever the border opens, I've stopped saying when it goes back to normal because it's never going back to normal. You know that.
This is normal.
This is normal. When we're allowed to host sports trips again, sports excursions, I propose Philly. And the only problem with that is it's got to be hot. So
yeah,
what are we
December.
Talking? May, June?
We're not going in December.
We're not going in the winter. I'll tell you that right now.
And when they get cold at the football game, they get mean, and I'm not interested.
No.
We want to be hot, happy.
So Philly's on the bucket list. Maybe we do two trips in a year.
Ooh.
That's been discussed, too, yep. By the way, because normally all the sports trips, and I've been hosting them since 2011, they're generally farmers, which is fantastic. But there are teachers that say, if you could go in the summer, I'm in for a baseball trip, you know, two games in New York, or two games in LA, Yankees, Mets,
yeah.
Angels, Dodgers, something like that. But I want to go to Philly. I think we got to mix in a Wings game.
Oh, yeah.
What's the point if we're not going to go for a Wings game? What's the point of going to Philly?
Right.
So maybe two trips in a year. And Roxanne says, woohoo! Of course you can come, Roxanne. But I made a bet, a pact with myself. Zig Fricassi and I of SiriusXM NFL Radio talk about that trip of ours to New York a lot. Yeah. It was an amazing trip. Any trip to New York's amazing. But I was standing in MetLife Stadium on New Year's Eve. Maybe it was December 30th. I can't really remember, but I'm taking photos and my hands froze. I said, this is BS. I'm not paying to go anywhere to get wind chill ever again.
No,
you get my point.
You can go outside and get that for free.
I can go outside and do it for free. So, yeah, we're not going in the winter to Philly, period. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going back to Philly with Dan Cervelli of the Enterprise Podcast. Sports update coming too. What a great show it's been today. It's the RP Show. You're watching live. Canada's daytime sports talk show returns in a moment on Game Plus Television, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Yes, sir. Hey, a sports update breaking from the CEBL, the Canadian Elite Basketball League, revealed today the official broadcast viewership, media reach, and digital growth metrics for the CEBL Summer Series held in St. Catharines, Ontario, saw a record 1.2 million viewers across Canada tune in to 4 days of live TV programming on the CBC. The 26 games provided by CBC Sports were among the top live-streamed events on cbcsports.ca and their app CBC Gem. Additionally, 120,000-plus viewers watched the CEBL Summer Series, the Natty, as I called it. Remember all summer I was calling it the Natty?
I do.
They watched it on Twitch. NBA players are reportedly planning to vote on whether they would prefer to start the coming season in December or wait until January. The vote by members of the NBA Players Association will show how many prefer a 72-game season or 58 or 60. A couple of the Dallas Stars core players have recently gone under the knife and will be out of action for a while. The team announced that goalie Ben Bishop underwent right knee surgery October 21st, while forward Tatar Seguin had an operation on his hip November 2nd. Both are expected to be sidelined up to 5 months. This sports update is for Ballers Rec Room, now booking your office Christmas party. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Go to ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Clark has just told me to hold for Dan Cervelli. The video quality just went down. Dan Cervelli's joining us from Philly. So we had the eye candy from Philly from the NLL. Now we've got the eye candy coming. I'm telling you, man, he looks like he just walked off the set of Jersey Shore. He's got the guns.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing.
Sweet. That's going to be good.
Actually, I guess while we wait for Dan, and Clark, you tell me the second he's ready, okay? I cut the sports update early because I wanted to go back quickly to Dan. So I'll continue, and you tell me when he's ready. The NFL, now he's ready. The NFL is expanding the sideline area to give teams more space to distance. Mask usage is also now mandatory before and after games. And at halftime, the updates to the COVID protocols were sent to clubs in a memo after the league learned two players who played in game Sunday tested positive. Okay, back to Philly we go. Dan Cervelli joins us. His area of expertise is the Philly Flyers. There he is, joining us today from the Enterprise Podcast. How you doing, Natty?
I am doing very well, Rob. Thank you for having me on. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I got a lot of things to unpack with you with the Orange Crush and the Flyers and so forth, because that is your thing. But you just saw the interview with Devin Caney from the NLL. How big are you on the wings? Do you follow the NLL and what they do since they share the Wells Fargo Center with the Sixers and Flyers?
Now, that's the lacrosse league, right?
Yeah.
So I've been to one game in my life. I do not follow it like religiously at all, but... Yeah, I know they play in Philly. I went to a game when I was younger. That's about all I know.
Well, they're a lot of fun. Now, you told me last week that you are cousins with Frank Cervelli, the TSN senior hockey writer, yeah, out of Philly. Tell me, how close are you guys related, and when's the last time you talked?
The last time I talked, it's actually more of a somber event. I was at my grandmom's funeral about 13 years ago. We're not close at all. He's like a distant cousin. We're not close at all.
Which is interesting because you're in the same town and you both follow the Flyers so closely. So beyond all that, Dan, how are you making out with the fact that the Flyers aren't playing right now? Because you told me in the interview we did on your show, you didn't see it coming, the number one seed in the East. So you just must be dying to find out what's next for the Philly Flyers.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a great end of the season for them. They got things rolling, and they took that momentum into the playoffs, obviously finishing with the number one seed. I think there's a lot of excitement with the Flyers, especially with the fact that they finally have what is to be, it looks like, the goaltender situation taken care of in Carter Hart, and it's brought a lot of excitement to the city. You know, I think people finally have a different outlook on the Flyers because it's always been they kind of fall into the playoffs around, like, the later seeds, and then they kind of just get bounced in the first round. But to have the goalie solidified, it's pretty exciting.
It is. And by the way, I got to tell the viewers that when I was on your show, you were somewhat fascinated with the fact that all the hockey players come from here, or most of them anyways. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned by name, Hextall, Brian Propp, Bobby Clark, Rich Sutter, like Flyers, Moose DuPont, I believe, by the way, depending how far back you want to go. I've never asked anybody this, so I'm going to ask you. Why is Ron Hextall not getting credit for building this team? Because you don't wave a wand and build a team overnight like this. And they fired him. Like, what's the deal there?
I think Philadelphia fans can be a little bit impatient. And, you know, they don't always trust the process. I know that's the Sixer slogan, but they don't always trust the process. And I kind of feel bad for Ron. He's not getting the credit he deserves. He built the system, the farm system for the Flyers, and now it's showing all these prospects coming up. Guys like Provorov, who shows the most promise, I think, on the entire team. You know, he's not getting the credit he deserves, and he should be. And Ron Hextall is a player's beloved. He should be beloved, I think, as a manager. People don't have patience with Ron.
You sound like you know what I know. Because what they say about Hextall is he wears people out. And by the way, so do I. So I get it. But he's a micromanager. He's a taskmaster. Are you just hinting around something, Dan, or what do you know about that?
I actually don't know that much about that. I wasn't hinting at anything, actually.
That's fair. I've heard the exact same thing, though, that he's just got his finger on everything, and after a while, people don't like that. And I know that. You had a point for Dan or a question for Dan?
No, I was just going to say, on the ice, Ron Hextall, if you didn't have patience for him or didn't agree with him, he'd tune you in. So,
literally.
That was all. I'm like surprised he didn't do that in Philly with the management group, but...
Yeah, you can talk to Chris
Chelios
about that.
Or Kent Nilsson or any of those guys that he almost broke their leg. But I got another one for you. Why the people in Winnipeg say we don't talk enough Jets. So here we go. There's the rumor that Patrick Laine could be on the trade. Well, we know he's on the trade block. Maybe he'll go to Philly for Ivan Provorov, who played his junior hockey in Brandon, which is just down the road from Winnipeg. You know what Laine has done. Top seven scoring in the last 3 years. Is that a trade you'd make, Dan?
I think it's a trade I would consider. You know, I would have to take some time to kind of sort through that, but I don't know if I would make it just off the top of my head, just because I think Provorov has shown so much promise. And at his age, to be playing at the level I think he's playing at, I would wait it out just a little bit more, because defensemen get better with age because they become so smart. And I see signs that a guy like Provorov could be, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as a guy like Nick Lidstrom, but I see a lot of similarities to that. So Provorov, to me, is just not a guy I would want to get rid of.
No, well, that's the kind of guy that you build with. I totally get it. And I don't even know where that trade come from, by the way, but the Jets are in need of a defenseman, too, and they've got a disgruntled player, reportedly, in Patrick Laine. So, yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the Flyers' home game experiences? You kind of related a little bit of that to me when I guessed it on your podcast, but it seems to me like a real homey event. Like, Brian Propp is a ambassador, right? He's a host every game. You told me Bernie Parent is at almost every game for the Philly Flyers. Like, what... For guys that have never been there, what's it like?
Listen, it's an amazing event to be at. Philadelphia fans get a bad rap a lot of time. They, you know, they've booed Santa Claus and thrown snowballs at him. It's at an Eagles event, but you know, it's a great experience. You're going to get a very passionate fan base. Philadelphia fans, did we lose them? Are we still there? Can you hear me?
You're good.
Okay. Yeah, it's an amazing experience. And you get not only just Bernie Parent, you'll get guys like Bob Kelly down there. You get a lot of former Flyers. A lot of Flyers tend to stay in the area. Guys like Danny Briere, I know he goes down still to a lot of games. He was on one of our podcasts a few months ago. But got a phone ringing, I'm sorry. But,
that's good.
You know, it's a great experience if you ever get the chance to come down to a Flyers game. I feel like you got to just be there to actually experience it. And we got Gritty. Maybe. We got Gritty now, too. We got the best mascot in the NHL.
Maybe we will come in the winter, because they're making it sound so great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then if you're going in the winter, then you could go to a Flyers game and a Wings game. You could do all those things. But let me, of the movies about Philly, like, there's something great about Philly that I'm not sure. Devin Caney just said it's a vibe, and I'm sure that there is. But Rocky, Invincible... Movies like that, more if you can think of them, did they capture it properly?
Absolutely. Just the you know, the heart of the city of brotherly love. Yeah, Rocky, I feel like, just captures it the best. Especially Rocky 2 when he beats Apollo. I'm not big on the later Rocky. Rocky 1 and 2, two of the best movies, in my opinion, ever.
My favorites are Rocky 1 and 3, right? Thunderlips.
Okay, I like 3. 3's not bad. No, the only set, you got Mickey dies, but, you know, he comes back and beats Clubber Lang. It's still good. Number 2 for me is just awesome.
They all go downhill after 3. I think we can all agree on that. Yeah. They were milking it too much. Well, Dan, we'll let you go and get back to work. Other than Todd Pinckney writes in and says, Lindros attends more games as well now. So the Big E, you've seen him at Philly games?
Absolutely, yeah. I was actually down there. Well, he does go down, but I was actually there the night his number got retired, and LeClair. LeClair was my guy. Very underappreciated Flyer, in my opinion. John LeClair.
Legion of Boom.
Absolutely. And Michael Renberg, right?
And Michael Renberg. That was the 3, yeah. Before we let you go, Dan Cervelli, can you tell us just a plug for your podcast, your Instagram handle, and so forth, so people can tune in for those that love Philly sports?
Absolutely. Get over to Enterprise Sports, ENT. ERPRIZ with a Z, not like the car company with an S, it's with a Z. We were actually in New York last night. We were doing all kinds of election coverage, and I just got back a little bit ago. So we do just about everything on.
Yeah, you do. It's stuff. Amazing. Yeah. It's very simple. Enterprise with a Z, and you'll find him. Dan Cervelli. Pinckney writes in again. He says, great show. Oh, I believe it. It's been the Philly special today. And when we do come down there, where would you take us, by the way? Devin's already offered to tour guide us for one day. Dan, you'll have another. Where would you take us? What's on the must-see tour?
Well, first of all, we do cheesesteak reviews, so you got to do one of those with us. But then, it depends where you want to go. You want to go to a sporting event, we can go around the city. They got a lot of good restaurants down here. I would love to take you to an Eagles game. We can get to an Eagles game. I think that would be a great experience.
We're going to do this in the fall. I can smell it.
Yeah. Well, and Todd, right. Big Philly guy, he told us it's 20 to 25 degrees. Sorry, go ahead, Dan.
No. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Go for it.
Well, Todd just said it's 20 to 25 degrees in early November in Philly. So it's not as cold as we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's not that bad. It's been pretty mild, actually. Usually it's a little bit colder now, but it's actually been pretty mild. New York was a little chilly last night, but it's not too bad.
Well, Dan, look, we know how to get a hold of each other now. So I appreciate the time and reciprocating with me, and we will be coming to Philly. So check your inbox and have a great Philly day, man. I appreciate the time.
I appreciate you having me on. I really do. Thank you.
Dan Ceravelli joining us from Philadelphia. I didn't think we were taking a break. We are? Oh, yeah, we are. We'll take a break and come back. Viewer takeover. Why the heck not? It's the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
And the crew. I'm going to tell you, this Caliber coffee is amazing. Woo-hoo. Today. Great job brewing it, by the way.
Thank you.
I know it's no easy thing to do.
No, it's very technical.
Roxanne from Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions writes in and says, what a great show so far. It is if you love Philly sports. Clark came out of his cage in the break, and he's like, great guest, Dan Ceravelli. And I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't have brought on a Rudy Poo. And it was the amazing thing with him, and I meant to ask him how he found us, because the reason he, out of the blue, he just writes me on Instagram, and he says, I'm watching your show down here on Game Plus. Would you come on my podcast? Yeah. So I did. He's just channel surfing, and he found Game Plus.
But first of all, who does that? Like, surfing TV. This guy's good. Wonder if he'll come do a show with me.
Does he seem shy to you?
No. That's great. That's what it's all about. So, yeah, I mean, it was great to have him on. It was awesome.
Well, by the way, Clark just said that's pretty much what he does when he's surfing for guests.
Yeah.
So, that's the thing. I'm not as interested in if they're mad at me in Calgary, because I've got brand new people to tick off in Philadelphia. Or North Vancouver. John O'Flynn writes in and says, North Vancouver, shout out from John O'Flynn, who is very excited about Saturday's CFL Sim playoff doubleheader. By the way, if you missed it yesterday, Darren came up with the Sim betting lines. We got a doubleheader Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 o'clock SAST time. Toronto at Ottawa. That's the 4-5 playoff game, followed by the 3-6 playoff game. BC at Saskatchewan. Doubleheader broadcast on this Facebook Live channel. Not very hard to find. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it is going to be fantastic. Prairie Mobile text line is open, as always. 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaaS telemobility dealer. From John in Edmonton, he says, what if Trump puts a ban on international travel? What does that mean for sports in the United States? Doesn't mean it's not good. I can tell you that. Why don't we carry that over into hour two? John, you'll be joining us for that, I'm sure. We'll be on national television in 1.2 million homes across Canada and the United States, and we will delve into that. I was hoping we could stay Trump, Biden free, but it's hard to do that.
It's hard to do.
In this environment where the politics really involves so much with sports and it affects our lives. Todd Stottlemyre is our big guest in hour two. It's coming up after the break. Oh, there's still 10, Clark says.
Psych on the music.
987654. We'll see you in hour two. Let's go beat up DuPont.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.